So when at times the mob is swayed to carry praise or blame too far, we may choose somewhere like a star to stay our minds on and be slayed.
Hello and welcome to the Sound of Football podcast. I'm Graham Sibley, and as ever, I'm joined by Jan Bilton.
Hello.
And Terry DeFallon.
Hello.
In a cloud of German ticker tape, it's amazing, isn't it, Terry? We've been building up this in the last two podcasts, because, and I think it did need some building up because of the momentous shift there's been in the Bundesliga. It is now officially, as you said last week, a Farmers League now.
It is indeed. It is indeed. And I would just like to thank everyone on Twitter who gave me wonderful engagements when I dropped that midway through the second half of the game yesterday when Bayer Leverkusen were about 3-0 up. And I thought, yes, I'm going to drop this now before somebody else gets there before me. Because although it's a cracking joke, I can't believe I'm the only one who came up with it.
Well, no, actually, I've just seen on Twitter now someone's used pretty much the same joke, but they put it under a picture of Gary Lineker in a sort of like the lame joke he gives out at the end of Match of the Day, which I think is a wicked burn on you, I think. That was a good quality gag, that was. It wasn't one of Lineker's lame old puns at the end of Match of the Day. How dare you?
Yeah, that's some serious shade you've been thrown on me there. That's darkened my mood somewhat. Oh, well, never mind. There you go. Such moments are fleeting, Graham, and you just have to deal with it. I'm there to be shot at now because I'm like an internet superstar.
I'm amazed you haven't been cancelled already. I'm surprised someone hasn't been on there and said, well, actually, yeah, you just don't understand the situation. Oh, my God, that's really insensitive, you know. Yeah.
Well, anyway, I will deal with that when the time arises.
It was fun and games in Germany with Leverkusen finally getting over the line. But, I mean, it was fun and games everywhere, wasn't it, over the weekend?
It has been a bit mad, very mad. Shall I talk about the Championship?
Yeah, why not?
Before we move on to the Premier League. Because the thing about your Championship, Graham, is that no one wants to win it.
Now, I wonder why.
I can't work out why, because, you know, the top two go up and they get to enjoy all the riches and corruptions and things like that of the Premier League. And then you have a very exciting playoff and the winner of that goes through and everyone's happy. It's a great way to end the season. But at the moment, no one wants to do that because the top three that have dominated the division across the season of Leeds, Leicester and Ipswich have just been miles ahead of everyone. It's been them and everybody else. But in their last three games, something strange has started to happen. Ipswich, who are top of the league still, haven't won in their last three games. Bearing in mind they were tearing up the division. Leicester have won one in their last three games, and Leeds have just drawn one game in their last three as well. Which means, this is what makes it even more interesting, Southampton, with games in hand, are now coming up on the outside. So actually, it is a bit odd that all of this is happening and everyone's choking at the same time, but Southampton aren't. It was really exciting when it was a three-horse race, but now it's got really, really exciting. And the top three are just having a who can be the shittest off. And Southampton are just getting on with it. So it's great. Yeah, but as I keep saying, it is the best and most entertaining league to watch, I think, domestically. So keep a close eye on that as the season unfolds.
Leicester have been told that they're not going to get any deduction this season, but they might be getting a deduction next season. So I mean, is that a reason why they won't want to come up into the Premier League? I mean, there is so much money up in the Premier League. Of course, no one is actually trying to deliberately not get promoted. I mean, that would be utterly stupid because, I mean, as we get told every playoff final, the amount of riches and solid gold bars that get taken up to your front door is immeasurable just for getting up into the Premier League and then swiftly coming back down again. So, obviously, there will be lots of twists and turns left in the three rounds of fixtures. I think Leicester have still got a game in hand, haven't they? So, it really is theirs to mess up now, isn't it? What's your call then, Jan? Who do you think is going to be the least shit out of those three and actually get those automatic spots?
I don't know. Just the form that Leeds seem to be in at the moment. I mean, they couldn't even beat Sunderland after Sunderland had 5 put past them at home. I think my heart and my head a little bit says that Southampton are going to come up and get into that amongst that lot and start causing issues. There's not far to go, but they can do it. They've got 2 games in hand, so there can be some problems caused out there, which will make it a lot more interesting. You know, Leicester, you're right, they've got a game in hand over Ipswich and of Leeds, but it would just be too boring and predictable for them to do it. I'd like to see Ipswich go up in the one of the top 2, just because then they do back-to-backs, and that's just a real fairy tale, and it'll be lovely to see.
I think we all want to see Ipswich go up, don't we?
Yeah.
I mean, we want to see that happen, definitely.
Yeah.
But we don't mind seeing Leeds and Leicester suffer. Of course, we're happy with that. Definitely happy with Leeds and Leicester suffering, aren't we?
Well, we're definitely happy with seeing one of them go into the playoffs and then fail miserably.
Yes, yeah. That'd be good. At the risk of tooting my own horn, at the end of last season, I suggested that given the new owners of Southampton were taking possession of the club, so to speak, they're appointing their new sporting director and getting themselves together, that actually Southampton, I think, would be, you know, I realise relegated team going straight back up again is not the hottest of tips that you'll ever get. But I felt that Southampton might turn it around. And considering they had a slow start to the season because they had lost a couple of decent players, and I'm quite pleased to see Southampton coming in good and putting some pressure on there, I think it would be quite good if they were to usurp Leicester or Leeds. I do want to see Ipswich go up because I just want to, because I just love it when teams go up in successive seasons. It's great.
Yeah. Mm. It's potentially disastrous, but it's great.
Yeah. Well, it's not our club, so it's fine.
One of the weird stats from this odd little run of the top 3, if you add up the total number of goals that the top 3 have scored in their last 3 games, so over 9 games, they've scored as many goals as Southampton scored in their win against Watford. So it's taken Southampton 1 game to score 3 goals. Ipswich, Leicester and Leeds have only scored 1 goal in their last 3 games. That's insane, isn't it?
That is insane, considering what they were doing only 3 weeks ago.
But that is what the end of season does. You know, there are plenty of twists and turns in the closing stage of a season, unless you're Leverkusen and you just continue winning games on and on and on and on. Terry, are they going to go unbeaten, do you reckon, now? Is it going to be a perfect season for them?
That really does depend on them, Graham. It's completely in their hands. I would like to think that Xabi Alonso would be saying to those players, look, you guys need to calm down now because we've got work to do. They've got to go to West Ham and get something, which, you know, that could be tricky. There's some beef there now, apparently. David Moyes had beef with Xabi Alonso, which is like, I don't know. Okay,
that is hilarious.
It's like, yeah. It's like Xabi Alonso is going, I respect David Moyes and his opinions, he said while reading the paper. I mean, it really does depend on the players now. I don't think there's nothing to stop them from going all the way through. I don't think that it would be a big shock or a disappointment to anybody if they were to prioritise their Europa League games. But their next game is in the Europa League. So yeah. If they get through that, then they might think we're going to deprioritise the league games because we've won the league. But Xabi Alonso, I'm sure, will be mindful of falling off a cliff once they've got over the line and what that can do going into the following season. If he's got anything about him, and given that this is his first full season as a manager, he clearly has got something about him. He'll be thinking about next season and thinking about making certain that everything is all right and that they're still in good form. So I like to think that he'll say to those players, it's absolutely vital that we keep ourselves together because they have an opportunity to win a double. They can win the league, and that is amazing. But there's pressure on them now, I think. Given that they're playing a second division team in the cup final, that they don't balls that up. The chance of a historic double on the cards, possibly even a treble. So there's still pressure and peril going on there. I think at this point, if they don't give it a good go, there might be a bit of disappointment that might think, well, they could have had more. And it's funny how the psychological balance can tell. But you won't tell that to those Leverkusen fans yesterday. They don't care right now. They will not care. That was amazing scenes going on there. And it's not something that you'd have seen at a football ground in, you know, I mean, it's been years since we've seen it like that, those kind of scenes. Because like beforehand, it was obviously Bayern. Bayern, I don't think they kind of take the pitch these days when they win titles because, you know, they're always winning titles. Even Dortmund, I think, can be a little bit more blasé about it. But for Leverkusen, for those fans, plucky little Leverkusen who've come from nowhere, you know, to win the title, all cynicism about their owners aside, I mean, that is astonishing, and it's great, and you could see what it meant, and it was kind of heartwarming to see, and for a few moments, I was quite pleased for them.
For a few moments. Kind of reminded me a little bit of a better version of when Napoli won the title last season. But because Napoli stumbled over the line and the blue fireworks had gone off previously for many, many false starts on their title-winning celebrations, when it finally happened, there was a bit more of a sense of relief about it rather than just an outpouring of expected joy. XJ, I think that is. It was like Napoli's celebration, only done more efficiently.
When the third goal went in, fans went onto the pitch. And Florian Wirtz scored the goal. And he was saying, get off the pitch, get off the pitch. And like, some of them were going, oh, okay, we better get off the pitch. You know, it kind of, you know, well, you know, most of those people probably work for Bayer. They're probably thinking, like, he's fired, he's fired, he's fired, he's fired. I'm not certain that the culture in Leverkusen is quite the same as it is in Naples. I'm just going to toss that out there.
Did they even manage to fill the stadium yesterday?
Oh, that's unkind. And yes, they did.
That is unkind, isn't it?
But it does need to be said. Yes, they did.
What I thought was good, talking about the pitch invasions, Terry, is like on the third goal, some of the fans were on the pitch. The fourth goal, quite a lot of the fans were on the pitch. By the time the fifth goal came in, everyone was on the pitch and the referee just went, oh, fuck this, and blew the whistle.
The stewards were out. I think the stewards thought the final whistle had gone. The stewards were out trying to manage the situation and they completely failed. And I think then I heard the whistle going. So I think what had happened actually is that the stewards were on the pitch before the whistle had gone. Beautifully chaotic. I mean, this is what can happen with German football, is that there's that whole, you know, efficiency about them. But then when they lose their shit, they just go mad. They just go absolutely insane. It's all that ridiculously strong beer they drink, I suspect. It was great. And it's been so long since we've seen that for a title win. It was really, really good. And I'm pleased for Alonso and I'm pleased for those players. And just like big props to Nathan Teller. Started the season in the championship for Southampton. Finish the season a Bundesliga champion. I mean, that is quite the journey. Pleased for Granit Xhaka, who's, you know, had quite an interesting narrative arc while he was at Arsenal. And and when he hit that goal yesterday, what a thunder bastard. And like, you know, I think you could see he was working out his issues on that one. Jonas Hofmann, who was like didn't get enough chances, in my opinion, at Dortmund to really establish himself. And then winning a title. I'm really, really pleased for those guys. So while I don't like Bayer Leverkusen on what they do, it's difficult to not be pleased for everybody there. And very excited to see what Xabi Alonso does in the future as a coach. First full season as a senior coach, and he could end up winning a treble. And he's won the title. And that is enough, surely. But no, there's more.
There is more to come. There is more to come. But as we say, plenty of twists and turns left in the season. Well, not in the Premier League.
No, that's over.
No, that's all over now. That's it. Put up the shutters on that season. That's done. Yeah, after last week, when my colleagues here put the kiss of death on my club, Arsenal, thank you very much for that. Yeah, look at you laughing away. Jan, you're a bit surprised about how circumspect I was about our chances for the league and against Bayern Munich in the Champions League, weren't you?
Well, I was, yes. I mean, I was sitting in this very chair last week and, you know, if it was me, I'd been like, it couldn't have been a better time to play Bayern. So we'll just batter Bayern. We'll deal with Villa and then we'll just go and win the league. What could possibly go wrong? That's what I'd be thinking. And you were anything but and very cautious. And I was thinking, what is wrong with this guy? He's got the world at his feet. Is it good times? Crack open the humidor and get the cigar out and just spark it up. Enjoy the rest of the season. Yeah, it's which now I understand why you were being so circumspect, because yeah, clearly it's taken a bit of a left turn, hasn't it? And I should know, as a Sunderland supporter, definitely you should never expect something. So what's the expression? The gods laugh when we make plans. And that's never was a truer word said.
Indeed. Yes. Yeah. Arsenal did indeed lose to Aston Villa at the weekend. And almost lost to Bayern Munich as well. They were fortunate even to come out with honours even at the end of the first leg of their quarterfinal at home. The second leg is this week. It's on Wednesday as well. So, yeah, we can all look forward to that. Well, you guys can. I can go and sit behind the sofa again like I did last week. Yeah, that was going fine. That quarterfinal win went a goal up. And I thought, well, all right, this is looking okay. And then Arsenal made a couple of basic defensive errors, for which Bayern Munich, being one of the best teams in the world and having some of the best players in the world, said, thank you very much, we'll have those two opportunities. So yeah, it was just pretty fretful watching the other night. I mean, you were probably having a whale of a time, Terry, and with your luxury popcorn.
Yep, I was there with sprinkling my Schadenfreude over my popcorn, and I was having a lovely time.
yeah, and I bet you had even more yesterday as well. You enjoyed your day watching the Premier League, didn't you?
I had a lovely day yesterday watching the Premier League. It was tremendous fun and hugely satisfying. I'm on a WhatsApp group with three mates, two of whom are Liverpool fans. And I just lurked while they were just like going on about how terrible it was. I was just lurking. No, I'm just like not saying anything. Not even Terry is typing. Nothing.
You should do that just to make them think, just like, because you know their eyes were boring into it, and then nothing coming in there. You know how frustrating that is. It's like, come on, yeah. I need closure on this.
But my close colleague who sits across the desk from me is a Liverpool fan as well, and he preempted this morning by sending me congratulatory WhatsApp messages. Because I think he was worried that I was just going to walk in and stuff. Because I don't do that kind of stuff. I'm too old for that kind of stuff. But yeah, brilliant. It is more fun when you know people who are, you know, and like there are Liverpool fans everywhere, of course. So they're easy to know and even easier to make friends with. Yeah, that was great. That was brilliant. I think we rode our luck to a very large degree. And in many ways, I felt the game was quite similar to the City game. The only principal difference is that City took the chances and Liverpool didn't. So I think as a pathway to the future, it's going to make for very interesting times. I think Palace under Glasner is going to be very interesting because we're clearly going for it. But I'd like to think that in the summertime, we'll make some key recruitments. We'll also hopefully, I don't know whether we'll keep Guehi. But if we keep Guehi and we have Anderson and then if we have a fully fit squad plus a few additions, then I think we might be able to plug a few of those holes. But also bearing in mind that we won't play City and Liverpool every week. We'll play teams that aren't as good as that and aren't as capable of cutting us open. But yeah, 21 passes for that goal, leading up to that goal. I mean, that's got to be a record for Crystal Palace. I would be very surprised to know how many times we've scored a goal with that many passes, because that's not usually what Palace are about. You know, even when we've had like managers who have tried to be more expansive, which has not been good enough to be able to sort of like pull that off. But to do that, that was fantastic. And you're sitting there going, what on earth is Terry Mitchell doing there? Oh, he's providing an assist. Ah, what? So, yeah, absolutely tremendous and a great finish by Eze. And I was really satisfied, very, very happy. And I'm so pleased to see, you know, Glasner Ball finally taking hold. I mean, I think we need probably another win, maybe another two wins. But if we can get over the line there, then there's genuine cause for optimism for the summer and for when we restart in August.
Oh, 33 points you're on now. You know, the lowest any team has stayed up with is 34. I think that record's going to be smashed this season.
Mm.
Palace, 33. So they're 6 points ahead of Everton, maybe 4 points ahead of Everton. They're 7 points ahead of Forest, maybe 3 points ahead of Forest, somewhere in between there. At least we know that Palace are 8 points clear of Luton and have a game in hand. I don't see any of those bottom three getting more than 30 points. And I'm not even sure that Forest, even if they get some of their points back, a few of them, maybe all of them, one, two more points back, I'm not sure they're going to get past 33. So I think Palace are already safe. But hey, enjoy the rest of the last six games of the season, I think. That's for Palace. And yet another season in the Premier League. How many is that now? 12, is it now?
I have genuinely lost count of how many seasons it's been.
Yeah,
I've become that complacent about it. It's unbelievable. I am staggered to see my colleague yawning here.
Sorry about that.
I should patiently sit through his Sunderland like rants patiently and nodding on with interest and genuine concern. And then I finally, Palace do something remotely interesting enough to warrant some time on this podcast, and I'm getting yawns.
To be fair, it was only the bit where you'd said you'd lost count how long you've been in the Premier League that I objected to in the strongest terms.
Yes, yawning is the strongest terms, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, well, there are stronger, I'm sure, but you know, yeah. Fine, whatever. I will cease my remarks about Crystal Palace, lest hubris come back, because you know what, you know, football gods, they don't like hubris.
They don't like hubris,
and maybe we've been guilty of a bit of hubris ourselves in past, but
maybe so.
Hey,
yeah,
but yeah, it's not entirely satisfactory to not know where your finish line is, though, is it, Terry? I mean, when you've got clubs behind you that could be overtaking you, we've spoken about this, haven't we, at length over the last couple of months, because I can't remember any season that's ending like this with teams having points deduction and still having appeals that will go on into May, that will actually go on up until the last week of the season. This isn't very satisfactory, but is this the shape of things to come? We spoke last week about the Premier League doesn't like it and wanted to get a luxury tax to replace it, which we laughed at and poo-pooed, because the idea of the Premier League spending more money as a deterrent to spending more money, the ridiculousness of it all was open for ridicule, and so that's what we're here for. But Jan, is this the shape of things to come? That although we say at the end of the season the table never lies, maybe it needs a little bit of explaining.
Well, yeah, certainly this season, you're not wrong. I mean, are Everton up for another one, or have they had all three wrists slapped? I know they haven't got three wrists. In fact, they're a football club. They don't have any wrists, but they metaphorically had their wrists slapped. It's good what the Premier League are doing, because it's clearly people are looking at what has happened with City, for example, and know that there's something dodgy that's gone on there, and they're taking action on that. You know, when they're going to take action on City, I don't know, but you know, let's wait and see on that one. But they can't roll back on the actions they've taken this season just because a new one started. I mean, by the sound of it, they might still be calculating this season when the new one starts. They understand what the rules are. They've got to play within them. But as we said in, I think about a month ago when we talked about this first, there's a real risk that they'll just factor this in and use it as a kind of overdraft. So I think it is the way things are going to be, because there's so many riches in the Premier League. People will do whatever they can to stay in there or get to there as well.
We've got the prospect of Leicester coming up with a points deduction. Sheffield United found out this week that they're going to start, when they go down, not if they go down, but when they go down to the Championship, they're going to start on -2 next season. This thing is spreading out now down into the Championship as well. It's not very satisfactory, is it?
We said before, if your sport can't determine a result during the actual sporting event itself, then it's arguably no longer a sport. But I have to imagine that the end game here is that clubs will just eventually start following the rules. That is to say, I don't believe that that is what will happen, but I believe that that is what the people in the Premier League who are making these decisions believe will happen. We'll do this now, dish out all these points deductions now, and then people will know we're serious, then it'll stop. Whereas I think what we think is probably more likely is that, yeah, they'll sort of like factor in points deduction when doing their budgets, or indeed, yes, sort of like insisting on just like paying their fines in advance by way of some kind of tax to do it. So I'm going to say it can't go on like this, but it can and may well be that we just might have to just acknowledge that this is how it's going to be. Unless this is one of those kind of equivalent of the sort of like controversial refereeing rules at the beginning of a season that everyone gets really annoyed about for the first 6 weeks, and then it kind of dies away after a while because it's sort of like the referees kind of forget to do it anymore. Unless it's the kind of equivalent of that, there'll be a few seasons of this and then everyone will just go back to cheating again. And the Premier League will be like, oh, I can't be arsed with this. It's too much work.
Or maybe, Jan, maybe what will happen is clubs will start finding hotels that they can sell to themselves.
Well, I can only think of one particular club that would do something as crazy as that. In fact, they have, haven't they? So, of course, you're talking about Chelsea, who have got two massive hotels right next to Stamford Bridge, which they've flogged to another subsidiary of the same organisation that owns them for close to £80 million, which they can use to plug the huge, huge gap they've got between what they've turned over and what they've spent. I mean, that just stinks. But of course, as we know, that, well, I can't see anyone saying there's anything, well, normal people like what we are going to look at that and go, that stinks. But I suppose in under any kind of financial model as it operates in the Western world, that's perfectly fine. And, you know, you're just juggling money around from different entities. The fact that they're owned by the same umbrella group doesn't seem to matter. I mean, look what City have been doing. They backdated sponsorship deals, didn't they? So they could play for Kevin De Bruyne back in the day, which got them into a little bit of hot water. So, you know, these things seem to happen and not much seems to change, really. Sadly, it's, as I understand it, it's legal and it's fine. And they checked with the Premier League before they did it and they said, yeah, go ahead, lads. It's fine. No problems.
You wouldn't want to play Monopoly with Todd Burley, would you? Oh, yeah, I've landed on your rent. Wait, I've got to sell my hotels back to me. Here you go. Have some money.
I don't know. It suggests to me that he's a pretty terrible Monopoly player, is going to be said.
But it's all the loopholes you have to jump. I mean, I'm sure when the Glazers bought Manchester United, they used collateral from the stadium they were buying to pay for the stadium and the club they were buying, which just you need an accountancy degree to understand some of this stuff or even pretend to be able to understand it. Crazy.
I kind of get that because that's basically a mortgage. That's what happens when you take a mortgage out. You're using the house that you're buying as collateral because you can't afford it. So the bank can take it off you if you can't pay the bill. So that, in my head anyway, that's how I work that one out. But yeah, this one, selling your hotels back to yourself. No, I don't get that at all. But apparently, yeah, you're right. Apparently it's been rubber stamped and that's okay. It may not be enough to get them out of it. But this is what it's like now at the moment. There are so many things. It doesn't make your life easier if you're trying to do a topical football discussion podcast every week, trying to get your head around what is right and what's not right. And of course, you know, if you rely on the barometer that is social media, you're going to be hearing a lot of people saying, yeah, this is happening to my club and it should be fine. We shouldn't be getting deducted for this. And yeah, this is happening to that club and they should just throw the book at them. So it's very difficult to get nuanced opinion. But there are lots of experts out there, lots of experts to help you go through this minefield. And I'm glad they're there because otherwise I would be hopelessly lost, I think, given what's going on. Take, for instance, qualification for Europe this season. This whole thing about the fifth place. Now, we love coefficient chat on this podcast, don't we?
We do.
Go back throughout all the years and we love to have a little bit of chat about coefficients because it's just quite fun about how many places you get, where you end up in draws, because we love doing a draw. But this season we've got this extra thing now where because of the pressure of the big clubs on to UEFA, they expanded it, changed the rules just to make sure that they get as many of the big clubs in as possible. And now we've got the situation now where we could have four Champions League spots next season in the Premier League, could have five, could even have six Champions League places next season. Yeah, yes, yeah. I can see that look of incredulity on your face, but no. I mean, to be fair, that does rely on West Ham beating Bayer Leverkusen and then going on to win the Europa League. So, yeah, it's far-fetched, but it's still there. Same thing could happen in Germany. If Dortmund had a bit of a rubbish time going into the rest of the season, but went on to win the Champions League, if they finished sixth, they would get into the Champions League next season. And if they go on to win the Champions League, they'll probably get enough coefficient points to get that fifth place in the Champions League as well. So you could have six teams from Germany there going all the way down. That's a third of the division qualifying for the Champions League next season. And of course, you've got your extra places. So the whole of the top half of the Bundesliga could be playing in Europe next season. That's quite mad, isn't it, Terry?
Yeah, I didn't know that. And that is kind of mad. It's been a good division this season. So, yeah, but I would kind of be astonished if Dortmund did anything like what you're suggesting. Dortmund can be very pleased to have got where they are, but I think they're probably going out against Atleti. But you know, but the principle still stands. I did not know this. And it blows my mind to think that that's a possibility. But I think at the moment, if I'm right, if we were to pare it down to just the five places, I think it's Italy and Germany that are in the box seat for those two spots at the moment, those extra spots at the moment. Am I right or am I wrong about that?
You are right. They are in the box seat, but it's very close between England and Germany at the moment. So it is just fag papers. And it will be depending on how many go through it. The advantage that the English teams have is that they're in more competition, so can go deeper. With the German sides, they're only in two competitions, but Leverkusen, I would say, at the moment, are the favourite for the Europa League, given who's in there. But, I mean, Atalanta played amazingly against Liverpool, but I think we've all seen that, that Liverpool are not at their best at the moment. So interested to see how that one goes from now on. We'll find out more this week, obviously, when the other quarterfinals are played, just to see who is actually doing well. Because last week in Europe was just mad. There were just insane first legs, weren't there? All four of the Champions League first legs were just crazy. There was no such word as cagey as far as that was concerned, was there?
No, there was not. It continues to be fun to watch PSG implode. The Real Madrid and Man City was just absolute worldies just flying around the place. Just extraordinary. Real Madrid are a total vibe nation. Ancelotti is like not process driven. He's old school. He says, I'll just get the best players in the world and just like get them to go out there and just score goals. But Guardiola is, you feel more process driven. And then Ancelotti would look at this game and saying, yes, this is football. And Guardiola's looking at that game going, what is going wrong? My beautiful systems are all falling apart. You know, my processes. Who will think of my processes? I mean, I watched mostly the Bayern Munich versus Arsenal game. And although, yeah, I mean, that wasn't perhaps not quite as wild, but it was still this idea that the first legs are supposed to be cagey really has gone. And I am beginning to wonder if the away goal thing actually is having some kind of effect. So far, the evidence seems to suggest that we're seeing a bit more entertainment.
Getting rid of the away goals is a rare example of football becoming simpler, isn't it? Getting rid of that rule, the slight confusing nature of it, well, confusing to some people. I actually really love the away goals rule, but yeah, I was in a minority by the time it went. But yeah, football is more complicated now, isn't it? If it's not a slew of statistics that, quite frankly, I don't understand, or coefficients telling you who's going to be in what competition next season. Getting rid of away goals, I mean, we need it really, don't we? Because otherwise, it'd just be too much for our heads. They would literally explode, wouldn't they?
Well, yeah, there is a lot going on. If you're going to be able to hold a conversation with your mates down the pub, you need to be an accountant, you need to be a statistician, you need to be able to get your head around XG. And XG for me is like speaking Spanish. I can kind of get by, but I wouldn't say I got to have a technical conversation about it. Yeah, we talked about the UEFA coefficient. Of course, a few years ago, assists came in, which I think was probably driven by fantasy football.
Yeah, definitely.
I know it's easy to understand, but it's another thing to, I mean, that's very easy to understand. And then the number of statistics get fired at you as someone watching the game. As we've said in the past as well, football can sometimes be quite dull to watch. So what the broadcasters do is just fire loads of numbers at you in the hope that that's going to somehow stimulate you into staying and consuming more, when I would imagine the opposite's true. It is for me. There's a lot of numbers around, which I suppose in a highly professionalized sport with a lot of numbers and, you know, real life proper athletes involved in it, you'd kind of expect, because it's an industry, isn't it? But as a consumer of that product, it is a little bit overwhelming. Again, the Champions League Swiss model that's coming up again, that's probably not like me Spanish, probably like when I tried Greek. So again, I do kind of get my head around, I'm joking, of course, but there's a lot of complexity for football fans to get their head around. And as to Terry's point, to professionals within the game, you know, you talked about Ancelotti, I'm sure he's got his head around Spanish and Greek, not to mention XGs and the Swiss model. But, you know, if you're someone in the game, you can quite easily, I suppose it's like any industry, isn't it? You can easily get left behind if you're not keeping up to date with modern methods.
Next season, I mean, I think the Swiss model, the first season is going to be crazy. Everyone's going to, like, it's going to turn up, because it's not just the Champions League, it's the Europa League and the Conference League as well. It's going to be in all of them. So I think it's going to be interesting. And then people are going to say, oh, well, we're 23rd. Is that going to be enough to get through into the next stage? And yes, it will be, listeners.
How mad is that?
I know. It is insane, isn't it? You will have to go through a playoff round, but yeah, it'll be enough. Yeah, crazy times next season. I don't know if the Swiss model is going to have points deductions in it as well. You can probably imagine that will seep into European football as well. But yeah, fun and games. And I guess it's up to us as podcasters and people who like to have opinions and should have some kind of understanding of what's going on, to keep you, the listeners, up to date with what really is happening. But yeah, in many respects, listeners, we are probably as in the dark as you are on quite a few things. But feel free to get onto us and put us right on many things. Isn't that right, Terry?
Yeah, absolutely. You're always welcome, listener feedback, as I believe I've said repeatedly on this podcast. there's so much money coming into the game now, and the game is inherently chaotic. It was why we love it so much. It's that it is capable of tremendous and profound drama and chaos. But that does make it difficult to manage and to understand. And if you're going to put lots and lots of money and invest lots and lots of money into what is a game that you really should have no business investing in whatsoever because of it's so unpredictable and so chaotic and so dramatic, then yes, then the drive to try and understand things becomes greater. And so, yes, that leads inevitably to the notion that analytics helps to deepen your understanding of the game. And then, yeah, then you start looking for ways in which you can game the system, like bypass some of the laws, not break the laws, not cheat necessarily, although there's a bit of that, but to sort of like try and find a way around getting a competitive advantage off the field as well. And so, yeah, so you need accountants, and you need lawyers to be able to do that. And then in order to be able to understand that, as you say, Graham, Jan, you need to be an accountant, you need to be a lawyer, you know, you need to be a statistician, or you need to have a really, really good understanding of those things to be able to do that. And that's not leaving out the huge amounts of sort of like, you know, data involved in things like scouting networks, and the legalities of all of that as well. Yeah, it's a profoundly complex industry now, football, and it makes it difficult to commentate on, for sure. But it is a consequence of the increased professionalisation of the sport.
Yes. Thankfully, there are a lot of nerds out there that we can crib from, aren't there?
Indeed. Absolutely.
But there's also football. And actually, when you get 22 blokes on the pitch and a ball, then it kind of boils down into them just kicking about and scoring spectacular goals, which is really what we're really interested in. It's just all this other stuff that gets in the way. And there's going to be some great football this weekend because it's FA Cup semi-final weekend. Yeah. So Man City versus Chelsea is the one on Saturday. City are going to win that one, aren't they, Terry?
City v Chelsea? Yes, that's going to be more pain for Pochettino, sadly.
Yeah, well, he can think about how his owners are selling hotels. Maybe that's their priority at the moment.
Maybe they'll buy him a hotel as consolation.
Yeah, and on Sunday, it's Coventry, Man United. Coventry have lost their last two games. They have obviously given up the idea of the playoffs and are going solidly for this, aren't they?
They're going all in. You know, when you talk about the romance of the FA Cup, that is what it's all about, that fixture, isn't it? And the fact that it's the semi-final at Wembley, for some reason, no one knows why. But anyway, it's good for Coventry. Good luck to them. I really genuinely hope that they beat Manchester United. I mean, I would think that if it was, you know, anyone. But because we like to see Manchester United lose, don't we? But best of luck to Coventry. They've done really well to get there. They are a really good side. Despite their form of late in the Championship, they are a strong side in that division. And I think that they're not going to make it easy for Man United. They're going to go at it, and it will make for a wonderful final if they manage to get there.
For any Manchester United fans listening and discerning bunch that you are, this is not really aimed at you. But for all of the concerns, complaints, gripes, unhappiness and heartache that Manchester United fans feel that they have endured in recent years since Alex Ferguson left, it is nothing by comparison to what Coventry City have been through. So the next time you consider how hard done by you are and how unhappy you are as a United fan, consider your opponents in this match and what that club has been through without a ground, without an owner, humiliated, frankly, and the way that they have bounced back. And that is true suffering. And that is why I think any neutral would like to see Coventry do well. It's not a slight against Manchester United per se, although it can be. That's optional. but it is really more to see, you know, just to see the return and the resurgence of a traditional club that have had been on extremely hard time and know the true meaning of suffering in that respect. And so best of luck to Coventry. And Mark Robbins, of course, is the coach.
Of course.
And if you don't know who Mark Robbins is and his relationship with Manchester United, then just Google him and yeah.
I'm sure YouTube will be your friend as well.
Absolutely.
There is some Premier League action as well that we're going to be putting in our box set. Arsenal will be playing on Saturday evening and ruining my Saturday night, I'm sure. But hey, City's still got to go to Brighton and get something. You know, I'd love it. On Sunday, well, Terry, we've got a relegation minus 6-pointer, haven't we, with Everton versus Forest.
Oh God, that's gonna be so difficult to watch. That is like, oh, that's gonna be tense, isn't it? That, not very much football being played there, I think, lads.
No,
this is the time of the season where you want to see that, though.
Well, good. We end Sunday with a much better piece of fare, don't we, Jan? With El Clasico, with Real Madrid versus Barcelona, which after Champions League in the week, that's just gonna be chaos, isn't it? That one.
Yeah, I would think so. Barcelona have got some catching up to do. And they've done incredibly well since Xavi announced he was going to retire, because they haven't lost a game since. Which, talk about a team rallying around to support their manager and legend. But yeah, I mean, if they beat Real, then, you know, it's game on. It really will be game on. Sadly, I don't think that's going to happen. But I mean, it is a mad fixture, that one, isn't it? So you really don't know where it's going.
Well, if you want to see which games we go for and what we think of those games that happened this weekend, then get along to sofpodcast.com, click on the link for the weekend's box set and subscribe, and it will be in your inbox on Friday. But that is all we have time for this week. So from me, Graham Sibley, from Jan Bilton, and from Terry Feldman, it's goodbye.
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 We are at Sound of Football on X, Blue Sky and Instagram, so feel free to get in touch there or head to our website, sofpodcast.com. Don't forget to rate and review us.
I'm not impressed, Graham.
Why are you not impressed?
I'm just not.
No?
No, just not today. I'm just not impressed. It's just been that kind of day. I'm just not impressed.
Okay.
I'm sick of your bullshit. Not yours. Obviously, we've literally just started speaking.
Yes.
But I'm just in general, I'm not impressed and I'm sick of your bullshit. That's the kind of frame of mind I'm in right now.
Good. Well, I want you to hold on to that then.
Okay, this is how I'm going to do the podcast. How are you, Jan?
Good, thank you. Sorry, I'm a few minutes late.
I'm not impressed and I'm sick of your bullshit, Jan.
You'd be surprised often I hear that, Terry. Just before I'm handed a P45.